Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is the 14th tape in the series entitled Workings of the Mind Part 2, Das, recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
We are in the middle of Perek Gimel of Tanya. Daf Zayin Amud Beis. The line beginning with the words Uksiv Tzama Lecha Nafshi. We are holding by the word V'hatzi Ma'ayin. In the previous class, we discussed the fact that the proper contemplation and meditation exercised through the two intellectual faculties of Chachma and Bina sprout forth and give birth to the respective emotional responses and experiences within the human character. So the Alter Rebbe discussed that when one utilizes his two faculties of both Chachma and Bina, of conception and comprehension, and referring, of course, to the faculties as they are utilized through the Nefesh HaElokis, through the godly, the divine soul. So therefore, the Chachma and the Bina are both directed towards the ultimate truth of existence, the reality of Hashem. Then, ultimately, this will give birth to the respective feelings which within the human heart, beginning with a sense of Yira, a sense of awe and reverence from the reality of Hashem, followed by a powerful sense of ahava, of an intense burning love, yearning, and desire to touch and to cleave to the divine reality. And Alter Rebbe continues and says that this ahava, this powerful sense of love, can lead ultimately to what is known as klais hanefesh, which is the consuming passion of the soul, or the culminating passion of the soul, quoting the psukim of Tehillim, Nichsefa v'gam kol sanafshi, Tzama nafshi leilekim, Tzama lecha nafshi, which all denote in one way or another the very powerful, overwhelming sense of affection, warmth, and love that has overtaken David HaMelech. And now we will continue inside. V'hatzi mayin. Yeah. Does Yira always precede Ava? Can it begin with Ava and then be followed by Yira? We discussed this at length in last week's class. Let's see inside. V'hatzima'ayin, the Alter Rebbe continues, this loving thirst, whom yisayid ha'esha b'nefesh ha'likis, is derived from the element of fire in the divine soul. As mentioned in Perek Aleph, and in our classes on the Perek, according to the Torah, every single existing reality, human being, creature, phenomenon, is a composite of four elements. Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Afar. Fire, air, water, and earth. This is true about physical reality, and the same applies to spiritual reality. Thus, in Perek Aleph, the Alter Rebbe said that the Nefesh HaBahamis existing in the Jew, the animal, natural, vital soul, it consists of four elements, and that is actually its basic chemistry and the fundamental aspects which create its entity and its persona. And he discussed over there how different emotions and experiences of the animal soul can be traced back to various elements in the animal soul. Whether you're talking about anger and arrogance, which are derived from the element of fire, the desire for pleasure from the element of water, this a sense of frivolity, hululus, and scoffing, idle talk from the element of ear, depression, melancholiness, sadness, laziness from the element of earth. That he discusses about the animal soul in the chapter 1. The same is true regarding the divine soul. It is also made up of this chemistry of four elements. Of course, over here when we're talking about souls, we're dealing with spiritual elements. Fire, water, air, and earth in their spiritual, metaphysical counterpart. But when you're talking about the divine soul, the four elements gravitate and are directed and are internally connected to the reality of holiness, of sanctity, of godliness. So the Alter Rebbe says that this thirst, this loving thirst and yearning that the godly soul of the Jew experiences towards Hashem, is derived from the element of fire in the divine soul. What is the connection? U'kameshekasvu hativim, as the students of natural science write, v'cheinu be'etz chayim, and so it is written in Etz Chayim, which is one of the most fundamental works of the Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, transcribed by his greatest student and Talmud, Rabbi Chaim Vital. The Arizal, of course, one of the greatest Kabbalists and mystics in the history of the Jewish people, lived in Svas in the 16th century. So in Etz Chayim, it also says, Sheyisoid ha'esh hu belev, that the element of fire is in the heart. And apparently he's referring to Etz Chaim Shaar Hei Perek Hei, where the Arizal writes, Halev hu esh seyref, the heart is a consuming fire. The Arizal doesn't say the words of Yisoid ha'esh hu belev, but we can understand it from his words that Yehlevu esh seyref. But ultimately we see over here that the element of fire is in the heart. And since love and thirst are connected very much with the heart of the human being, and the element of fire is in the heart, so the thirst and the love of the divine soul comes from the element of fire in the divine soul. So there is one aspect of the Nefesh HaLakiz, the Yisoid HaEish, which when we tap into it and when we experience that aspect, what is the type of experience? It's an experience of an intense yearning and love to connect to Hashem. Umakir Hamayim V'Haleichus Mehamayach, while the source of the element of water and moisture is in the brain. The source of the element of fire is in the heart. What about the element of water, of moisture, which is another element of the four elements? This is not in the heart, but rather this is in the brain. U'kameshekasov be'etz chayim shayr nun, as explained in Etz Chayim in Portal 50, shehibchinas chachma shenikra mayim shebenefesh alikis, that the source of the element of water, the yisoid hamayim of the divine soul, is the level of chachma of the divine soul, of wisdom, which is called the water of the divine soul. The mayim shebenefesh alikis, the chachma of the divine soul, is defined as water of the nefesh alikis. What is the Alter Rebbe telling us over here? What he's saying is, as just as the heart is the seat of emotions, of warmth, the same is true that the brain is the seat of water, of wisdom. Since the heart is the seat of the emotional experience of the human being, we say that it is the abode of the element of fire. So where is the Nefesh HaLekis experienced? Via its fiery element? Through the heart experience of the human being, through the emotional experience of the human being. In contrast, the brain being the seat of cold intellect, of calm and measured intelligence, is the source of the element of water. The difference between water and fire, essentially, water is known as, the Rambam writes, Cham v'yavish, it's hot and dry. Mayim is kar v'lach, essentially is cold and wet. So therefore, spiritually speaking, of course, the idea of fire would be the heat, the overwhelming passion and yearning of the human soul, and the water of the soul would be the cool intelligence and rationality of the human soul. The Nefesh HaLekis is both, has the element of fire and the element of water. So the burning love of the Nefesh HaLekis is the fire experience of the Nefesh HaLekis. The intelligence, rational understanding, comprehension, and conception of the Nefesh HaLekis, the wisdom of it, that is the expression of the water element of the Nefesh HaLekis. That is what water is in its spiritual essence, in its spiritual counterpart. It is the idea of wisdom. Just one second. Why is the Alter Rebbe explaining this over here? Because this is very important to emphasize, after discussing the birth of the midas, of the emotional experience in the Nefesh HaLekis, because the heat and passion of one's love of Hashem, which is expressed in the heart, can ultimately indeed lead to the experience of Klais HaNefesh. And Klais HaNefesh, which means the consuming passion of the soul in its ultimate sense, can actually lead a human being to expire, can lead a human being to be totally taken and overwhelmed in his totality by this yearning and love to Hashem, to the extent that his body will not be able to contain this powerful spiritual energy, and the human being can expire. Indeed, this is what occurred to Nadav and Avihu in the beginning of Parashat Shemini, and what the Torah discusses in Achrei Mois, as the Rachayim explained that what happened, the cause of death of Nadav and Avihu, was not just, as many people mistakenly think, they went to a bar, they had some vodka and alcohol, and they entered into the Mishkan. When the Gemara says Suya Yayin Nichnasu L'Migdash, Chazal and Svarim explained that you were dealing with a very deep meditative experience, which led them actually to a reality where they felt so intimately connected to the divine reality that their bodies cannot contain it anymore, and they expired. And so with other events in Gemara and in Chazal, Arba Nichnasu L'Pardes and Masechta Chagiga, but that's a discussion for itself. So the Alter Rebbe is saying here as follows, that together with the Ava and the powerful Yira that comes as a result of the Chachma and the Bina, this is the Yisayid Ha'esh of the Nefesh HaLekis. But a person always has to revert to the Yisayid HaMayim of the Nefesh HaLekis. You always have to reconnect to the element of water of the Nefesh HaLekis. Because the mind has the capacity, through its intellect, for a calm appraisal of a situation, which leads one to comprehend that ultimately, the ultimate purpose and destiny and intention of Hashem creating the world was that the soul, the neshama, remain enclosed in the physical body, so it should be able to fulfill the Torah and mitzvahs and fulfill its mission in the physical world on the face of this physical earth. This realization cools the fiery flames of the heart and thus prevents the soul from actually expiring in Klais HaNefesh. Now, the fact that Alter Rebbe says here, "Kamei shekasov beitz chayim shar nun," is something which is quite enigmatic. Indeed, in the notes and comments of the Lubavitcher Rebbe on the Tanya, on these words, "Kamei shekasov beitz chayim," he writes, "Tzarich iyun gadol." It requires much understanding, and I guess the reason is I open up an Eitz Chaim Shar Nun, and Alter Rebbe doesn't say it. The Arizal doesn't say it. You go through the whole Shar Nun, and he does not say it. You don't find over there that it says that the element of water is Pchinas Chachma Shenikra Mayim Shabenefesh Elikis. And he doesn't only say Eitz Chaim, as he says before, V'cheinu Beitz Chaim. He gives an exact reference, Shar Nun, although he doesn't specify the Perek. But the Rebbe continues in his notes, and he says, V'ayin Shamareish Perek Aleph. But look over there in Shar Nun, in the beginning of Perek Aleph. And what I believe he's referring to is that the Arizal discusses over there in the beginning of Perek Aleph the four elements that exist in the world, which basically encompass the entirety of existence. And this is Daimem, Tzemeach, Chay, and Medaber. The world can be divided into one part, which is inanimate matter, earth, and so on, minerals. The second category would be Tzemeach, which is the vegetable kingdom. Then you have the third category is Chai, which is the animal kingdom, including all live species and animals. And finally, the fourth category, which is called Medaber, which includes the entire human race, which is a known category, Daimem Tzemeach Chai Medaber, and will be discussed in an elaborative manner in Tanya Perek Lamed Ches. The Arizal, however, explains over there that these four elements correspond to the four elements which are the composite of existence, Eish, Ruach, Mayim, Afar. In other words, although every single entity has all four elements, specifically, but generally speaking, the part of the world which is Daimim, inanimate matter, is connected in a more emphasized manner to Afar, to Earth. Indeed, Afar is part of Daimim. The part of the world which is Tzemeach, vegetables, flowers, trees, things that grow, are connected to Ruach, to the ear element. the part of animal kingdom Chai is connected to Eish, to fire. Because their advantage over the previous creatures are that there are senses, there is feeling. An animal has five senses, it perceives, it feels, there's passion. And finally, the fourth element, Medaber, the human race, is connected to Mayim, to water. So what's the advantage of the human race over the animal kingdom? Intelligence, seichel, rationale. So we see over here from the Arizal that Mayim is connected to seichel, to chachma, to wisdom. So therefore, it does allow itself to be interpreted that the element of water of the Nefesh HaLakis is the element of wisdom of the Nefesh HaLakis. Interesting, however, parenthetically, that the Arizal goes on a step further, and he says that although he is referring to the four general elements of the entire world, Daimam Tzemeach Chai Medaber, but in every human being, all these four aspects exist as well, and he says, Elu heim dalid minei nefesh yizkiru chachmei hativim. These are the four types of souls that the students of natural science wrote about. Nefesh ha-megadelas, v'nefesh ha-tzeimachas, v'ha-margeshes, v'ha-medaberes. The human being also consists of four souls, so to speak, the Arizal says there. Nefesh ha-megadelas is that level of reality which is earth in the human being, which is an inanimate matter, and just is a fertile ground which allows growth on it and in it. Then there's a nefesh ha-tzeimachas, which is the vegetative soul of the human being, which is similar to the soul that exists in vegetables, that allows them to physically grow and develop. And then thirdly, there's nefesh ha-margeshes, which is the soul that senses, that conceives, that feels. That is the soul that has instincts and desires and pain and calmness and so on. And finally, there's nefesh ha-medaber, is the rational, intellectual soul. Now, if you recall, we discussed that the Chachmei Hativim argue if a human being has one soul or three souls. The Rambam says one soul, Shmeina Prakim, in the beginning. Da ki nefesh adam achasi. The Ibn Ezra, Reb Shleim Ibn Gvirul, say a person has three souls. Ramban and Bechaya bring both opinions and ultimately lead to the conclusion it seems that there is one soul. Arizal says here, Dalad nefeshes. But it's not a contradiction, because if you realize, the first nefesh over here, they're not counting. The first nefesh over here, he calls a nefesh, but it's really the same soul that exists in an inanimate matter. It's the soul of Afar. Nefesh HaMegadel is the soul that allows growth upon it, like earth. But ultimately, the next three souls is the Tzeimachas, and the Margeshes, and the Medaberes. But ultimately, let's remember that all this is still in the realm of the Nefesh HaBahamis. And the Tanya that the Rebbe introduces, the new reality that characterizes the essence of the Jew's character, and that is the Nefesh HaLikis. Now the Rebbe continues, U'sha'ar HaMida Yiskulon, Hein Anfei HaYira V'Ha'av HaVetel Deseyan. The rest of the remaining five Midas are all offshoots and derivatives of awe and love, as is explained elsewhere. In the beginning of Perek Gimel, the Alter Rebbe introduced the fact that the soul of man consists of 10 kaiches, 10 faculties. 3 are intellectual, shalosh imais, and 7 are a type of experience, which are the emotional 7 attributes of the human soul, known as the Sheva Kfulais. The Alter Rebbe said that the 3 intellectual faculties are the mothers that give birth to their offspring, which are the Midas. So part of this period, the Alter Rebbe discussed how Chachma and Bina indeed are the mothers that introduce and give birth to the first 2 emotional experiences of man, which are Ahava, attraction, and Yira, rejection. Love and awe. Benevolence and reverence. What about the other 5 Midas, which follow Chesed and Gvura, Ahava and Yira, which are Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yisoid, and Malchus? Integration, endurance, devotion, bonding, and royalty? These, he says, are ultimately offshoots and branches. They are derived, they come from Ahava and Yira, Therefore, they are called Teldas of Ava and Yira. So certainly, if Ava and Yira are produced through Chachma and Bina, the five Midas as well are produced of Chachma and Bina. But Alter Rebbe says, this as explained elsewhere, the connection of the other Midas to Ava and Yira, and thus how they also come from Chachma and Bina. We will follow the Alter Rebbe's statement over here, and also not discuss it at the present moment, but in Mitzvah Hashem next week. So this concludes the idea of how the Midas, all of them, beginning with Ava and Yira, and thus also their offshoots, are derived from Chachma and Bina. But now we have to still get back to the third intellectual faculty of the human being. We discussed at length Chachma and Bina, both in last week's class, class number 13, and even more elaboratively in class number 12. What about Das? What is Das? Chachma is conception, Bina is comprehension. What is Das? What is its essence? What is its function? And what does it accomplish in the character of the Jew striving to fulfill his mission in life? So the Alter Rebbe now continues to explain briefly, but in very powerful words, what Das is. Vahadas, Das, humiloshein vahadam yada eschava. Das, whose etymology of the word may be found in the Pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, that Adam knew Chava. What does it mean, Va'adam yodes Chava? So the meaning of the Pasuk over here was that Adam had a physical union with Chava. V'hu lashein hiskashrus v'hischabrus. This implies attachment and union. What does Adam Yada Eschava means? Adam Nu Chava. But we see over here that Das Yada implies fusion, attachment, bonding, connection. Thus, Adam Yada Eschava indicates the connection between Adam and Chava. We have it as well other places in Tanakh. V'ish lo yada'a. A man has not known her. The meaning of the pasuk is lo yada, has not have, had did not experience a physical union with her. Vayeda Elkanah eschana ishtoi. In Shmuel. Again, Elkanah knew Chana, his wife. The same meaning as v'ha'adam yada eschava. Attachment and union. And Alter Rebbe explains what is this in the life, in the personality, in the character of the Nefesh HaLikis. If there is Chachma already, there's conception of an idea. There is Bina, there's an elaborate comprehension of an idea. What is Das? Das is Hiskashrus v'Hischabrus. Attaching oneself to the idea, connecting oneself to the idea. What is the meaning of this? The Medrash in Eicha Rabbah in Parsha Beis Piska Yud Gimel says a very interesting statement. Im yoymar lecha adam yesh chachma bagayim tamin. Yesh teira bagayim al tamin. If a human being tells you that there is wisdom by the nations of the world, believe him. But if he tells you that there is teira by the nations of the world, do not believe him. What is the meaning of this? Wisdom there is by the nations of the world, but Torah there is not by the nations of the world. First of all, what is the meaning of the Medrash? And second of all, doesn't the Pasuk say in Parshas Veschanan that Torah is wisdom? Ki hi chachmaschem, chachmaschem ubinaschem leinei kol ha'amim. So the Torah itself should be the one who can define itself. And the Torah defines itself as chachma. We always talk about chachmas ha'Torah. The gewaldike wisdom and depth that's in Torah. So what exactly is the distinction between Chachma and Torah? Another statement that Arizal makes in Eitz Chaim, that Arizal says, and he uses a term, he says, Klipa ein lehem mayach hadas. The realm of Klipa, which means the shell, the husk, those realities which are antithetical to holiness and godliness, lack the mayach hadas, the capacity of das. What is the meaning of this, that they lack the idea of Das? Another Medrash says, this is in Vayikra Rabbah, Parsha Aleph Piska Tesvav. Kol Talmud Chacham She'ein Boi Da'as Nevela Teiva Himeno. Every Talmud Chacham, a master of Torah story, who lacks Das, Nevela Teiva Himeno, the corpse of a dead animal is superior to him. That's what the Midrash says. Again, the Midrash uses over here the word Das. She'ein Boi Da'as Nevela Teiva Himeno. What is Das? One could be a superb chacham. One can be a superb maven. But it has nothing to do with the world of das. You could go into your doctor, and your doctor will give you a 2-hour lecture. You should not take a piece of cake into your mouth anymore. It's going to cause you great harm, chas v'shalom. No cake and no cigarettes anymore. And he explains you, and he demonstrates how this can harm the body and what it can do to your cholesterol and to your lungs and to this aspect and that aspect. And you're a wise person. You understand English and you understand what he's talking about. And you go out of the doctor. You say, thank you very much. You pay the bill. And you go into the next cafeteria, buy a Danish and light up a cigarette. And this does not have to be explained. Go over to any person living in this world and say, what is the most important thing in life on the physical level? And everyone will answer the same thing. Health. Health is the most important thing. It's more important than money. It's more important than a nice house, than a nice car. Health is life. What's more important than health? If a haraya, no one is deceiving themselves or you when they say this. People do everything for health. People, God forbid, go through the most painful procedures, Rahman al-Islam Fakain mentioned Gedacht, in order to preserve their life, to preserve their health. So you see that health is indeed the most important thing. They're ready to go through many difficult things just to preserve their health. So they understand that health is important. They have Chachma and they have Bina. So the doctor explained this to you. So the next evening, by dessert, why can't you not eat that piece of cake? Because we lack das. Das is not understanding something. Das is connecting to something. Making it a truth in your level of experience and reality. Therefore, when the person, chas v'shalom, will indeed become ill as a consequence of what he has done, he will immediately stop eating that cake. Why? Because we are sometimes not people of intellectual experience, but of real reality. And when in physical reality we see that this caused us harm, this concept became true in our mode of existence, in our reality, in our experience. So when there's das, it affects you. And you will not take that cigarette anymore, you won't eat the sugar, you won't eat the cake, you won't eat the wheat, and so on and so forth. They tell a story to illustrate this, the idea of Das, about a letter which arrived, which was adorned with an official-looking appearance, stamps and seals, and it was quite an event on a tavern, which was in some suburb in Eastern Europe, in the backwoods of a town. How many letters would arrive there? The simple tavern keeper, he never quite mastered the written word, which was a common phenomenon at those times. He ran to find the malamed, the teacher who he kept to teach his children. Every tavern keeper, those times, the yeshuvniks, as they were known, had children. And they did not send them to yeshivas. Yeshivas b'chlal then was not a phenomenon in the Jewish world. So they would hire what's known as a malamet, a teacher, who would remain there for 6 months, go home for Pesach, for Tishrei, sometimes for years and years, to teach his children every day. To teach Aleph Beis, Chumash, Gemara, and so on. So the teacher was the scholar of residence at the tavern. As the teacher read the letter, the malamed read the letter, suddenly the tavern keeper turned white. He uttered a small cry and he collapsed in a dead faint. What happened? The letter contained most tragic and shocking news for this simple, good-hearted Jew. His beloved father passed away. There was a great Hasidus teacher. His name was Reb Michal of Apotsk. He would tell the story and he would say, an outside observer witnessing this event may wonder, why does the tavern keeper react so dramatically to the letter while the teacher is relatively unmoved? Which of the two better grasps and comprehends the content, if not the learned teacher? The other cannot even read and write. If the teacher who understands the wording, the exact grammar, the meaning of every word much better than the tavern keeper. Obviously, of course, this is a ridiculous question. What if the teacher has a better appreciation of the wisdom that's being conveyed in of the letter? What if the teacher has a better appreciation for the sentence structure, for the artful calligraphy in which this letter was written? What if he better understands the background of the circumstances, the nuances of the event described? It's not his father who died. It's the father of the tavern keeper. So it's a whole other reality. So the Chachma and the Bina by the Malamed is of course much more powerful. But as he would say in Yiddish, it's not his father. It does not resonate in his experience, in his world. Therefore, the emotional responses will not be provoked in his life. He remains unmoved. The poor tavern keeper, however, it's Zayin Tata. Reb Michal Apotsky would conclude, he would say, it's important to learn, to study, to comprehend. And the more one understands, the deeper one delves into the nature of his own existence, the nature of the world about him, the nature of his relationship with his Creator, with Hashem, and the better the human being is equipped to fulfill his mission in life. But objective knowledge alone is worthless. Unless one sees himself in the picture, the most profound of theories will yield no meaningful results. Unless one sees the subject matter as his father, a lifetime in study of study and discovery will have little bearing on his life itself. That is what Das introduces into our life. There was a famous philosopher in this century, taught at Cambridge University, two subjects. Ethics, he taught ethics, morals, and he also taught mathematics and geometry. They once caught him by engaging in a non-moral act, to put it mildly. And one of his students, who was an honest young man, approached his dear professor, who he truly admired, and he said, I do not understand. How can you teach morals and ethics when your life personifies the contrary? So he says, listen, my dear student, I also teach mathematics and geometry. I teach about circles and squares. Does it mean that I am a circle? Teaching about something doesn't have to do... I teach about it. What does it have to do with you? There can be... That's Chachma and Bina without Das. The Gemara says, Chazal say, Katan ain't by Das. A katan does not have Das. Therefore, you did not obligate a katan to observe mitzvahs, and you cannot punish him for transgressing mitzvahs until the age of bar mitzvah, till the age of 13 by a boy, and the age of 12 by a girl, bas mitzvah. What is the meaning of katan ein bei das? Well, you all know that sometimes there are 9-year-old, 11-year-old children who are brilliant, who have such powerful creative minds, that's in the realm of chachma, and sometimes in bina they are walking encyclopedias. Sometimes more brilliant than adults. But nevertheless, you cannot obligate them to do mitzvahs. A child can understand very well that he shall not be playing with this knife. Understands it better than an adult. But bepoyel mamash, when it comes to bottom line, it's irrelevant what he understands. His emotions desire the present moment to play with this, to make fun of this child, to harm, to do this, not to go to sleep. And you can't hold him responsible. There is a certain detachment between the realm of understanding and his own world and experience. And therefore, you cannot hold him responsible for engaging in an act or not engaging in an act. because there is some lack of connection between what he understands very well and what he feels as being a truth in his world. In the world of the child, the candy, that is the most important thing. That is his world. And Das is an intellectual experience, but it's an intellectual experience of fusion, of making this intellectual idea a truth in my level of reality. Another example. There are two types of people who study the stock market in a very, very powerful manner. The businessman and the economist, both of them. But there is a major difference between the two. The economist is paid for analyzing and discussing the economic situation in our country. That's what he is paid for. For the economist, there is literally no difference if things are going good or things are going bad. What he is interested is in the seichel shebedavar, in the intellect which is involved. The businessman is also interested, but for one reason. He wants to make his money. There's a major difference if it's going up or down, if it's in a good situation or not a good situation. What's the difference? Very simple. The economist, this is not affecting his world. He can understand it much better than everyone else. But he will be, his night will be equally calm if the economy is going good or the economy is going bad. Because his paycheck at the end of the week is identical. The businessman, no, this will cause him a night which he could sleep, and this will cause him a sleepless night. Because the truth that he understands is a truth that permeates his world, his experience. So there's a natural das over here. The businessman doesn't have to work to induce the faculty of das. A person is naturally, nefesh abahamasly, money-oriented, and therefore, das is an automatic phenomenon in his realm, in his world.